All right, let's pray and we'll get into the message this morning. Dear God, we thank you for your worldwide church. Lord, I thank you for just the glimpse of it that we have gotten this morning. Thank you for the fact that we are at the end of a long chain of individuals who have shared the gospel and churches who have planted and shared the gospel to get all the way to Fairbanks, Alaska, 2,000 years after the ministry of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that we will be a solid link in that chain and continue to reach lost people both here and overseas and in the Northwest and just in our own circles of influence. Lord, we just pray that as many people as possible will spend eternity with you in heaven. Lord, this is the mission we're on, and we just ask for your leading and your provision and your protection and your guidance to do it. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're in a series. You may be wondering, because you're looking over here and you see this display that Debbie, the secretary, put together, Games People Play. That's the series we're in. And last week we talked about the game Scrabble, which I like, and how important connections are. And so this week in our series about games people play, and if you're an outline person, there is an outline in your bulletin, is we're going to talk about angry birds. So we're going to talk about anger and what we do with anger. Now, angry birds is, and I'm not one that has played the game, although it's been called by some the biggest mobile game of all time. I don't know if that's true or not. That was on their company website, so yet take that with a grain of salt. But I did go see the Angry Bird movie, and just for explanation, I do have an 8-year-old son, and I should have probably taken him with me, but anyway. I did take him with me. But Red is this angry bird, and he's grouchy, and he has to go to anger management class, and it's kind of funny. And then these pigs show up, and they act all friendly, and they're helpful, and they throw big parties, but then they steal all the bird's eggs, and they leave. And so Red has to channel his anger in now a positive direction and basically lead the charge to get their eggs back. And that's the gist of this particular movie. It amazed me, this movie made about $349 million worldwide. It became the most successful Finnish film of all times. It was the second highest grossest video game film of all time behind Warcraft. It was, Angry Birds actually opened at number one in 52 countries at one time. It's the third largest animated foreign animated film in China ever. So apparently this movie, this game, has hit a nerve, and that nerve is anger. And anger is something I think we all deal with. In surveys, men say their top two struggles are lust and anger, and it depends on the survey which one is the number one and which one is number two. It's lower on the list with the ladies, but it's still on the list as a struggle. And if I were to ask you this morning, what makes you angry? I think everybody would be able to come up with something. I would encourage you not to point to the person next to you. There's never a shortage of people that make you angry or make me angry. There's always somebody around. I can never forget, we were watching our kids, like many of you do, play soccer in the summer, and we're just on the sideline, and this little guy, about 5 years old, came up to Maria. She was watching her brothers, one of the brothers, play soccer. She played a lot too, but at this time, she was just watching, and this little guy came up to her, and he looked at her, and he simply said, "Allow me." She looked at him perplexed, and then he just kicked her as hard as he could right in the shins. And we thought, well, that was really bizarre, and then ran off. So at least he asked permission. But there's always that kid in there. There's always that coworker. There's always that person at church. And there's always that person at the family reunion, right? That causes anger in our lives. I remember watching a show, I'm dating myself here, but it was the Incredible Hulk show, and some of you may remember this, and Bruce Banner would say, "Don't make me angry, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry," and he would just turn into this fearsome beast when he got angry. Now, while not as dramatic, I think all of us at one time or another have been transformed and by anger. Proverbs 29:22 says this, "An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins." Now stop and think about that. A hot-tempered person commits many sins. Now, I do want to clear up one little misunderstanding before I kind of dive into how we deal with anger. I do want to be very clear that there is such a thing as healthy anger. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27 says this, "In your anger, do not sin." Some translations say, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." So, anger and sin are not necessarily always together. Sometimes anger is healthy. Sometimes anger is just a normal human emotion, and it can actually be a positive weapon to bring about change. And so sometimes you should befriend your anger. Matter of fact, in the Bible, there are about 500 references to anger. About 350 of them are references to the anger of God. So if the perfect holy God of the Bible sometimes gets angry, then we too are allowed to experience anger, that it is a normal emotion. As a matter of fact, when we look at the life of Jesus, we see him get angry several times. I think about Mark chapter 3, where he healed a man with a withered hand, and then some legalists, some people who like to just focus on minutia, they got all mad at Jesus because he healed him on Saturday on the Sabbath. So they miss the miracle and focus on the fact that they didn't think you should heal on the Sabbath. And Jesus got angry about that. In Matthew 23, Jesus absolutely just lights up the Pharisees, calls them a brood of vipers. I mean, tells them they're at different points in the scripture, tells them they are sons of the devil. He does not hold back because he felt like they were leading people astray and away from God rather than what they were supposed to do, which was point people towards God. So sometimes Jesus got very angry. And then as I understand the chronology in the Gospels, I think that Jesus cleared the temple two different times, one at the beginning of his ministry and one at the end of his ministry. Because he went to the temple, and here in this area, which was the only area that the Gentiles, which would be all of us who aren't Jewish with our heritage, the only place that the Gentiles could come in the temple, they had turned into a marketplace. And they were basically ripping people off. They were charging outrageous amounts for just the right animal to sacrifice. So you bring your animal and they go, "Oh no, there's a blemish. You have to buy our specially approved, you know, organically grown animal, and you have to pay top dollar for it." And so they made it so the one place where Gentiles could come and really experience God and come in and participate and watch the special relationship that he had with the Jews, they turned it into just an absolute mockery of what was supposed to happen. And Jesus went in there, I think, at the beginning and the end of his ministries and said, "This, forget this." I mean, he even got a whip out. He's throwing things. It's not your flannel board picture of Jesus. But understand that sometimes Jesus got angry, and it was a righteous anger, it was a holy anger, it was a godly anger, and so sometimes you should embrace your anger, and you should engage, and you should act on it. You know, there are some things that should make us angry. I was reading this week that 1.3 billion people don't have clean drinking water. That should make us angry. The average American consumer, according to a book called Porn Nation, is exposed to over 14,000 sexual images and messages every year, most which objectify women and base their value on their body shape and their size. The average age of first exposure to pornography in the United States, according to that book, the same book, is age 11. I've read other books that say that average age of first exposure to pornography is age 8. I don't know which is correct. But either one should make us angry. I did a funeral just recently for a 24-year-old who was shot by her stalker ex-boyfriend, and so she was killed. And so got to do the funeral and look down and see a 3-year-old and an 8-year-old who no longer have their mother because of this man's anger. And now they'll be split because of the family dynamics and all of that, and they won't live together. So they lost their mother and they lost their sibling all in one episode. That should make us angry. Anger kept Rosa Parks in her seat and helped propel the civil rights movement. Anger kept William Wilberforce, a British politician, fighting to end British slavery year after year after year. And finally, right before he died, he managed to end the British slave trade. In 1980, a drunk driver killed a 13-year-old girl. Her mother got angry and started MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, and has changed laws and probably saved, estimates are in the thousands of lives. So there are times when anger is good and holy and right and propels us to act. So let's not ignore that kind of anger. And that's not sinful, that's helpful. I kind of think of the old cartoon Popeye, where something would build up and build up, and then he'd reach a point and he'd say, "That's all I can stand, and I can't stand no more." I apologize to the English teachers in the room. But most of our anger that we deal with doesn't look like righteous, godly anger. Let's just watch a clip. Can we show the clip? This is called "Can You Hear Me Now" by the Skit Guys.
Can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Taylor, hey, it's me, Trevor. I'm outside the concert, wondering where you're at. I think I'm in the right spot, and I think it's already started, and I was... Hello? Hello?
Can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Hey, your voicemail cut me off. So what I was saying was I'm outside...
Maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Okay, I'll talk faster for whatever reason.
Can't get on the phone right now, but maybe I just don't want to. Just kidding, leave a message.
Funniest thing, he keeps cutting me off. Gah!
Can't get on the phone right now.
Hey, I'll talk really, really fast because for whatever reason, your little voicemail message thingy keeps cutting me off. Maybe it's because you have a cheap phone. Yeah, I said it. Hey, look, I see the writing on the wall. I am here, you invited me, and I'm standing out here like some dork waiting for you, huh? I got stood up by a buddy. What is that about? This is so you. This is so high school all over again. You get some more important friends, and me, I'm left like some chump. You have bad breath. Has anyone in your life ever told you that? It stinks, and you will not have me, Mr. Trevor, to kick around anymore. Do you hear me? No more, bro!
Mailbox is full.
Full of that.
Hey, I'm sorry I'm late. I tried to call you, but my phone's jacked up. Anyway, the reason I'm late is I ran into this guy who sold his tickets. You're gonna love this, okay? Get this, box seats, all you can eat food, the best seats in the house. And the best part, my treat. I mean, think about it. You're my best buddy, right? I mean, what better way to say thank you than these?
Hang on, I was expecting a call. Just take a minute. Oh, it's a message from you. And another one. And another one.
You see, most anger, most of what we deal with when we think of anger is sinful anger, toxic anger, poisonous anger, does not help us in our lives, damages our relationships. Anger is powerful. Stop and think about it. Anger can turn a mother and her child into virtual strangers. Some of you have experienced that. It can turn a married couple that pledge till death do us part, it can rip them apart and make them adversaries in divorce court. Anger can turn a hurting teenager into a school shooter. Anger is powerful. It can damage reputations. It can damage your career. I think of one of the brilliant businessmen of our era, Steve Jobs, who had such anger issues that that was one of the big reasons he was forced out of the company he founded, because people just couldn't take his anger anymore. Understand that some anger is toxic and poisonous. So I want us to understand it a little better. Now, something to ask yourself is, how often do I lose my temper? Once a month? Once a week? Once a day? But how do we understand anger? I want to give you a little bit here. One is that anger is handled by people differently. There are the spewers. They tend to explode like a powder keg. Proverbs 29:11 sounds like a spewer. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Then you have the stuffers, and they deny their anger, they hide their anger, they pretend that it doesn't exist, but it's kind of like holding a large beach ball underwater. It gets harder and harder, and eventually it tends to pop out. And then there's the leakers, which sounds like a personal problem, but anger leaks out little bits, little snide comments here, little digs there. You're like, what's going on? Well, that person's probably a leaker when it comes to their anger. You need to understand that anger is usually a secondary emotion. It's usually not the main thing. Like when you watch that video, he was touching in on, did you catch it? This is like high school, and I was left behind. And it's kind of like often the psychiatrists, they'll talk about there's a primary emotion, so down deep, and then there's a secondary emotion that you see. Or there could be the visible emotion, which is anger, and then there's the root emotion, which is usually rejection or fear or something like that. And so we need to understand anger and think about, how do I handle anger? What am I doing with it? Why am I angry? And then I think we need to walk out God's anger management plan. And I can't give you all of it. I can give you just quickly a few things. James 1, verse 19 and 20 says this, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." So quick to listen. Did you notice in our video that once his friend showed up and explained what happened, his anger went way down? Now, his embarrassment went way up, but his anger went way down because he listened to the other person. And that is one of the best things you can do, because often we jump to conclusions. Often, here's something I see a lot. We assign motives. You don't know their motives, but we assign motives. Be very careful with that. We have to listen to the other person. We have to listen to ourselves. We have to listen to our root issues. Because often when we're angry, as I mentioned, there's some kind of primary issue going on, rejection or fear. There's some button that I have in my life that you, just walking through my life, accidentally hit that button and all of a sudden I'm angry. And so we need to be quick to listen to others. We need to be quick to listen to ourselves and understand, why am I feeling this way? And usually the anger comes up because of a hurt from an unmet need, or frustration from unmet expectations. That's a big one in marriage. You know, you go into a marriage and you have all these unwritten expectations, and she hasn't read that book. And you haven't read her book. And those expectations show up because of their family of origin is the biggest source, but maybe something they read, maybe it's TV and movies, but somehow they think this is what a good husband's going to be to them, and you don't hit that, and you'll pay for that, and you'll experience anger probably. Often it's insecurity from threatened self or self-esteem. You know, unmet expectations is one of the big ones, I think. And I just want you to think about this. Chip Ingram tells a story about how one time he flew, he was doing some mission work in the Philippines, and he almost didn't get out before this, I think it's a rainy season or something, and he wasn't going to be able to get out. And so he got the last plane out, and the next opportunity was going to be 3 months before he could get out of this particular area in the Philippines that he was in. And he said that that plane, there was bad food, they lost his luggage. He said, it seemed like everybody smoked on that plane. He said, I was just dying on the plane. He said, but I was so happy because my expectations were really low. I was so happy on that flight out of the Philippines. And he said, it wasn't a few months later that with my family, I went from Texas to California on a nice clean plane. They didn't lose my luggage. But I thought there was going to be a meal, and I got peanuts. And he said, I was mad the whole flight. And see, that's the power of unmet expectations. You expect something, and they come in under it. See, we often get angry when somebody doesn't acknowledge or somebody doesn't fulfill our shoulds. You should do this for me. You should do that for me. So we need to be quick to listen to the other person, to ourselves, our expectations. Get honest about some of those. Are they really realistic? A clarifying question can be, seriously, just sit down. What am I mad about? And classify it. Is it a mountain? I mean, is this serious? Is this a really big deal? Or is this a molehill? And often, what sets us off is really not very important. And if we'll just ask those clarifying questions, it will help us. So James also tells us to be slow to speak. Remember the video. See, he regretted his words, but there they were, recorded. You ever made one of those calls to a voicemail and you're like, oh, shouldn't have said that. Proverbs 13:3 says, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Be a person with a long fuse. And then I'm going to go to another scripture to get kind of the final piece of God's anger management, at least the final piece I can give you today, and that is to face and forgive things. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Just as in Christ God forgave you. When we get angry with someone and we look at the offense, always remember to look at your own list of offenses towards God. And the price he paid was the cross so that he could forgive you, so that he could forgive me. And it's rather humbling. And so we need to offer people forgiveness. It's not excusing the behavior. It's not necessarily forgetting their behavior. Although I will say, if you've done a good job of forgiving somebody something, eventually you do forget. And you'll be like, oh yeah, you know, somebody will bring it up. See, hurt and anger should just be feelings, fleeting feelings in your life, not permanent fixtures. If anger is a permanent fixture in your life, you have a serious problem. And you need to look hard at it. You see, forgiveness works. Forgiveness gives people better lives. It gives people better health. And if you let anger fester, it will become bitterness. And bitterness is really just anger with a history, a long history where somebody's just played it over. And most of us have done that with something, where we just played it over. And it's this old wound that we're not quite sure we're going to let go of. It's interesting that doctors are now saying that people who forgive have immediate improvement in their cardiovascular, muscular, and nervous systems. And one of the things that helps me as an image is to think about my mind like a TV with the channels. because there's a choice there on what channel you watch. You can watch I'm Blessed channel, you know, God's Been Good to Me channel, or you can watch, and a lot of people do, and I've done it, the Grievance channel. This is what he did to me. This is what she did to me. And that channel will run in your mind if you allow it and if you choose to run that. And so I just want to encourage you to do a couple things. I loved a book called The Art of Forgiving by Lewis Smedes. I encourage you to check it out. Like, how do we forgive? I can't walk you through a lot, but let me give you a couple things from that book. One is rediscover the humanity of the person who hurt you. They are not just what they did to you. They're a person made in the image of God. They're a person that Jesus died for. Rediscover the humanity of the person who molested you, betrayed you, stole from you, lied to you. Rediscover their humanity. Surrender your right to get even, even on Facebook. Surrender your right to get even. That's part of forgiveness. And then, over time, revise your feelings toward the person that you're forgiving. And the best mechanism, at least that I've found, is if somebody has wounded me, I begin to pray for them. And it isn't instant, but eventually I start to root for people that I pray for. And so I encourage you to begin to pray for people. Now, it may start out, you know, that your prayer is like, remember that country song that, you know, pray you get hit by a car and all that stuff. It may start that way. It'll get better. Hang in there. You know, check that desire. Pray for the person. Pray for their good. And you'll start to root for them eventually. And so I just want to conclude with this. Really, the big ideas for you to try to walk away from this. One is to embrace godly anger and engage. Do something about it. If there's a particular problem in this community, if there's a particular struggle, if there's a particular sin that needs addressed, if there's something that really strikes home with you, because we can't care about everything. And we're not all passionate about everything. And so if it makes you angry how the homeless are treated, then engage. And so the big idea is to embrace godly anger and engage. If you don't like this, I mean, I watched this funeral that I did, and the family, to their credit, they were like, we want there to be elements in this funeral of this 24-year-old killed by this stalker ex-boyfriend. They said, we want there to be elements in this funeral that if there's another 20-something sitting out there in a similar situation, she can get help. And I appreciated that. And so they actually, you know, talked about uncomfortable things in the funeral. They actually said, hey, there are certain people you can come talk to. These are safe people you can come and spend some time with, and they will get you help. And so embrace godly anger and engage, and then face sinful anger and forgive. Do the hard work of forgiveness. See them as a human being. Surrender your right to revenge. Begin to change your feelings towards that person. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this time together. We are grateful for all that you've done in our lives. We're grateful for all you've done for this church. We are grateful for where we stand and sit today in this building. Lord, I'm thankful for every donor, every volunteer, every person who has prayed consistently for this place. But Lord, I thank you for Heidi's story and so many others to remind us that Journey Christian Church is not this place. It's not these walls. It's people interacting with you, following you, saved by you, changed by you. Lord, I pray that we will be about the work of the church, the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for those who have sown into us. We appreciate the CEA. We appreciate Plainfield Church and the others as well. And I ask your blessing on them. Lord, I lift up each person here and pray that your Spirit will give them what they need today, that they'll walk away with that encouraging word, that nugget of truth, that bit of conviction, that challenge to take the next step. But Lord, I ask that you give each of us something. Your Spirit knows what we need. I ask your blessing in the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen.